sunshine. The earth says hello.
Well, hello. It's a Friday night. Yeah.
Right here on Tea and Conversations.
Absolutely. And
so what are you drinking?
Blueberry tea. And I have like this peppermint bark that some sweet girls gave me, sweet little girls gave me. And it's actually pretty good. It's hard to bite, but that's okay. It's good. And it complements the tea very well.
Yeah.
And what are you? Well, I don't think what you have over there is tea, but what? That's grown folk tea?
Well, I love eggnog, and it's the Christmas season. And this time of year, this is when I have my eggnog. So I'm doing eggnog. So I'm kind of breaking away. I wonder if they have eggnog tea.
You know what? We can put what you put in your eggnog in our tea. That'll really make it jolly.
Well,
I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
So, this is a juicy conversation, and it's entitled "When You Have a Controlling Spouse."
I don't know. Do you want me to dive in first? I mean, like, for real.
Yeah. Being that you're so controlling, go ahead.
But you're controlling right now because you're telling me what to do, you know. But seriously.
Yeah.
Now, I was really just thinking about this for a minute. You know, when people get married, you know, in the beginning, you're still trying to please. You're tiptoeing around, you know, your spouse so you won't make them mad, you know, so forth and so on, right? But as time goes by, years, you begin to feel a little bit more, you know, free to be you. You walking around, probably in your underwear. Nobody don't want to see it, but, you know, it's all good. Mm-hmm. I'm just messing with
right.
you. But, no, but I'm just saying, you know,
no,
you're more
free. You let down your guards.
You let down your guard. You know, sometimes you can get a little gassy. A little TMI on a Friday, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah,
but
you let down your guards.
But you let down your guards, you know. But the thing is, over time, you find yourself being annoyed a lot with your spouse. Because of little pet peeves that we have, and because we're not doing things the way one person would like, then we kind of get attitudes, or you know what I mean? Just kind of get, you know, bothered by it, and we don't always handle it the right way. You know, in our last episode, we talked about people bondage.
Right.
But sometimes that people bondage is really coming from the people that live under the same roof as yourself.
Yes. Those who are you closest to?
Absolutely. And the ones who are actually sleeping in your bed. But, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, marriage bondage, it really is a type of control.
Right.
You know, you're controlling your spouse based on preference, your way of wanting things to be done versus my way of wanting things to be done. And, you know, but we should just allow each other to be free to be who we are. I'm going to give you an example.
Okay.
No, seriously. I mean, I was just sitting here thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
You went as far, you know, with your background in truck driving and teaching and, you know, being an adjunct instructor. Now you're a lead instructor, you know, state examiner. I get that.
Right.
But you go too far.
Really?
This dude, people out there, actually put orange cones in our garage because he didn't like the way I was parking my car.
Because you're parking crooked.
But come on, really? Okay, but this is, it's
when
not
you
park
a crooked, it's difficult for
okay,
me.
Okay, I just, look, I was coming home, me and my daughter Kenya, we were coming home one day and I just pulled up, you know, I'm short, so I'm kind of veering over the steering wheel just a little bit so I can see what's going on. And I look over and I'm seeing orange cones just lined up in the garage. And I'm like, he did not go there.
Right.
Not only that, when I let it up, you standing there directing me like you directing traffic. And then you're going to throw the, you know, your fist up, like stop the traffic. I'm like, you treated me like I'm one of your students, man. I mean, that's just going a little bit, you know, too far. I don't even want to talk about the thoughts that was going on in my head. But to me, that was the type of control.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the garage the way I like. I park the way I want to park. It's not bothering you. You just don't like it if it's not straight. But that's cool, right?
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
That's a good point. I think you were just going a little bit too far. I mean, even sometimes when you like to elaborate a little bit longer than I would like, you know.
No, I get it.
Sometimes I'm a quick in and out type person. You know, it all depends on the situation.
Right.
When I'm telling a story, I like to hit it and move on.
Right.
You like to go on on about it. Right. Repeat it.
Because I'm from Alabama.
Because you're from Alabama.
That's right.
Not only just Alabama, you're from Tuskegee, Alabama.
That's right.
You know.
We country. We like to...
Just sit on the porch.
Yeah, sip on the porch and let the story kind of linger a little
bit. I'm like, good grief. In back of my head, I'd be like,
okay. You one of them city folk. You like stuff quick.
Man, I got to get on about my business. And see, you like to hold me up with the same line that you just said 5 minutes ago. And I'm like, stop it, I say.
I got you.
Stop it, I say. You know, it's like the last thing. One of the things, and I know this is where I can't get to be, you know, I am just a little bit controlling, and I admit it. Mm-hmm. Me, I like to, when I'm typing out something, I type it quick, just hit the points that I need to hit and move on. On right. your post, I just sit there sometime and watch you when you, on your Facebook post. It's like you type out this long message, and then you go back and you delete, and then you start all over again, and you sit there and you read it. I just be sitting there, take you like almost an hour. Right. Just to type something. I'd be like, dude.
A little exaggerated.
Okay, well, maybe so. But I mean,
why are you trying to control how I do my...
Because it's annoying to sit there and watch. It's just like, dude, get over it. Just type it and move on.
But why are you trying to control?
Because you could be doing something else with your time. But you'd be sitting there like... I'd be like, okay, it really don't take that long to just tell somebody, you know, to respond to a person's post.
Right.
And that's just me. Okay, so I'm done.
Being a backseat driver.
I'm being a backseat driver.
Right.
I get it. I get it. But, you know, I don't know. We're different. Right. And I guess part of it is learning how to respect our differences.
Right.
And treasure who we are as individuals. Because the fact is, we're not. I mean, you give an example of the World of Coke, right? People go to the World of Coke. Why? Because there are different flavors of Cokes.
Right.
Of Coca-Cola. You know, and the point is, they all serve the same purpose of quenching the thirst.
Okay.
So in a marriage, we serve the purpose of honoring God in our, you know, union. We're just different.
Yeah.
And it's okay for us to be different in how we quench a thirst.
Okay. I got you. I kind of get what you're going on.
So don't put no more orange cones in the garage. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go somewhere and hide them.
They are gone. But yeah, that's a good point. I like that. I was thinking about Baskin Robbins or you know, different flavors, but you know, it's a beauty when you know you have different flavors.
Oh, you was gonna use an analogy with food?
I wasn't, but I thought about ice cream when you said that. But no, I think that's a good point. That's a good way to look at it, and then that can kind of take you out of that controlling, you know, mindset when you begin to understand that everybody's not vanilla.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or chocolate or whatever.
Right. You know, I was just thinking too, we have to make sure that we're not, this is just another point outside of it. You know, I'm just kind of pondering it right now. It's like, we can't confuse controlling with help. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes we look at when someone is trying to give us advice to help us. Oh, you're just trying to control me. No, actually, I love you. And I'm trying to help you. Prime example. I'm not saying this is you. I'm just saying in general, right? Just say something like, babe, I don't think you need to have that third piece of fried chicken. When I know you're trying to, you know, watch your diet. Or maybe you shouldn't have that fourth glass of wine. You follow what I'm saying? Because in your mind, it can be conceived as you're trying to control me. But for me, I'm like, I love you and I don't want harm to come to you. I don't want you to damage your temple. I don't want you to, you know, bring harm upon yourself physically. So, you know, we have to make sure that when we're talking to one another, be able to define what is control and define what is helping one another, you know, and bringing that, you know, bringing that balance to each other. And sometimes when we don't receive it, we have to make sure that we're not walking in pride. You know, because pride could definitely blind us to when our spouses are trying to be helpful. And we can just sum it up to, oh, you're just trying to be controlling. And that's not the case at all. So, yeah. So that's all I was just sharing.
Yeah, that's a good point that it is dangerous, you know, when... people do that and you can get some heavy arguments and can go to some tough places.
Right.
When you're trying to be in that kind, you know, when you just refuse help.
Right.
And when the person has, your loved one has you in their best interest, or they're thinking about your interest.
Like, I was thinking about your best interest when we were dating and you had issues with color schemes. I was just trying to tell you about your swag. It was off big time.
Man, go ahead.
You know, you were a little lame in your attire. No, go ahead. I'm just messing with you.
Atlanta versus Tuskegee. But so when I really just sat in this, it went to some deep places when I really began to think about this. And when I really, really dug in and meditated on control and what control is. And when you think about it, control is about the power of directing people and influencing them to do things our way. You see what I'm saying? Too often we think our way is the best way.
Right.
You know, there are other ways to get it done. Like, it's several different ways to get downtown Atlanta. You can go 85 South, you can go 20 West, you can go around this way, you can go down. And you might think, oh, my way is the best way.
Which typically it is.
And when really your way, it might be more construction. My way may seem to be the longer way. And then again, we just have to make sure that our way don't become like law.
Exactly.
You know, exactly. When it's really your preference.
It's preference.
Okay. So how do we get delivered from this narcissistic type of behavior when you're trying to control somebody?
So you think that's what it lies into?
I think it can get, you can get into some dark places and, you know, I think control issues is right at the core of divorce.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, of why people divorce. And so let's look at the converse of control. It's like if you want to stop doing something, stop doing bad, it's good to look at good. You see what I'm saying? You want to get out of the flesh, it's good to meditate and look at the fruits of the spirit. And what I did, I just looked at some of the antonyms of control, which is interesting. And I found it fascinating. These are kind of like the converse, the opposite is powerlessness, helplessness, weakness, chaos. Those are the antonyms of just a few of control. But then you look at it and you say, well, if it's who wants to feel powerlessness, who wants to feel helpless? Who wants weakness? And, you know, who wants chaos? You begin to think, well, I'd rather be in control than deal with that stuff.
Right.
But then this is what I began to think about. When we try to control people, we are trying to exert our power because deep, deep down inside, we feel weak and helpless if we can't control the situation. We create chaos because of the chaos that's going on in us.
That's good. Wow.
Okay. This is the thing. The path to true freedom is embracing powerlessness, helplessness, weakness. When we stop creating chaos through our obsession with control, then we are governed and controlled by selflessness. Okay. A great example of this. The cross. Jesus' power lied in him embracing a powerless state, yet he had all power. He embraced a helpless state, yet he was our help. He embraced a weakened state, yet when we are weak, he is what? He is our strength. The cross appeared to be chaotic. When you think about the cross and what Jesus experienced with all his partners pretty much turning their back on him. And then at that last moment, and you know, those last moments before, you know, the crucifixion, who's there? Mary, the other Mary and just John. That's mm-hmm. it. So that's the way the cross appeared. And then in his humanity, even Jesus said, Father, why have thou forsaken me? Mm-hmm. Yet this chaotic scene is the centerpiece of all religion today on every continent. This chaotic moment that happened over 2,000 years ago has brought a calm to millions of people who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because at the end of the day, Jesus didn't try to control people. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a control freak. It's life or death.
Nope.
That's what God put before you, life and the death. Then he said, choose. Mm-hmm. I think about the rich young ruler when this guy wanted Jesus to validate him, you know, and say, hey, Lord, I do all of these great things. And you know, I follow your word. Now, you know, validate me. And Jesus basically looked at him and said, okay, you follow the law, you love and all this stuff. Okay, leave everything. Mm-hmm. Give it all up and come follow me. Give up all your riches. Walk away from it. And the guy just walked away depressed. Jesus didn't try to force him and say, hey, you need to follow me. No, he wasn't trying to control people. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? It was a selflessness that Christ walked in. And the reason, getting back, that was an example, but getting back to the marriage, the reason this is so, so serious is because, as I just said before, I really believe control, people wrestling with this, mm-hmm. it sits at the core of why people divorce, whether it's infidelity, financial, incompatibility. When you really get the core of it, it has to do with control. We won't crucify our emotions because we want control. Mm. And Jesus, when you look at the cross, he was able to crucify his emotions. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% human. Mm-hmm. And when his emotions rise, guess what? When he looked in the cup, his emotions rised up. And then what did he say? Is it any other way? But right. then he said, not my will, but what? Your will be mm-hmm. done. That was the selfishness. That was the him releasing that wanting to be in control.
Right.
Okay. So he let go of control and he chose the difficult route. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to let go of control.
Right.
But when you let go of that control, then that difficult route is thinking of others' interests instead of your own interests. So this is what's interesting when you look at the cross and you look at getting delivered from wanting to control people. Weakness is the key to power. Mm-hmm. Okay. Selflessness destroys lust that leads to infidelity. When you, by embracing helplessness, it has everything to do with letting go and letting God. And that's when financial difficulties often, we're able to get past them because we just embrace our helplessness mm-hmm. and we stop trying to fix the situation.
Right.
Okay. And losing power. You see what I'm saying? That it keeps, when you let go, it keeps your marriage from collapsing. Mm-hmm. When you just let go of trying to be in control of everything. And to be totally candid with you, the most beautiful times in our marriage to me is when we abandon ourselves for the interests of our spouse. Mm-hmm. Okay. When two people in a relationship lets go of control, that's when love controls the relationship.
Mm, yeah.
Love can't control a relationship when you trying to control things, when you being selfish. But when you let go and your selflessness, that's when love can control the relationship. And it's just a thread. I see it mm-hmm. as I begin to dig into this, that so many people, I think that's the problem. It's control. And I'm just thinking about this now. Even with, I go back to that garden often that put us in this situation that mm-hmm. we're in life right now and the difficulties that we face in this life. Mm-hmm. And when we were separated from God, I think that was a control issue with Eve mm-hmm. and Adam. It was like Satan kind of was telling, look, you know, you can be in control like God.
Mm. It was the lust.
Yeah. He played desire. On. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Look at it. You can be like God.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can be sovereign like God.
Mm.
You know what? You can be in control. Why let God be in control of you?
Right, right. Let me ask you this question on, and that's good. And that's absolutely something to definitely take to heart. But I was sitting here thinking, what damage can being controlling do to an individual?
Hmm. If I'm being controlling, what damage it can do to me?
If I'm controlling you, mm-hmm. right? What damage can that do to you?
It can make me lose, you know, confidence.
Mm-hmm.
It can cause me to lose sight of my purpose.
Yeah.
And who I am and who God called me to be.
Right.
I think it attacks me right at the core of who I am mm-hmm. and purpose. You lose, you know, of a woman like controlling a man, you know what I'm saying? And he, for whatever reason, you know, continues to yield to that. It's like you lose sight of yeah. who you are as a leader.
Well, and I mean, that's very powerful. It also just make you feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
like I'm incapable
mm-hmm.
of making decisions. I'm incapable of being creative
because mm-hmm.
part of being control. Oh, I don't want you to do it that way. Oh, mm-hmm. I don't want you to say it that way. I don't mm-hmm. want you to whatever this way. You need to do it this way. It's like you lose your sense of being. God created us
mm-hmm.
the way he created you, the way he created me. He didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? We're different
mm-hmm.
and we should be free to be creative in our own space,
mm-hmm.
like the things that we like, as long as it's not damaging. And not only is this just harmful in a marriage, but, you know, in a workplace,
mm-hmm.
when you're being controlled by your supervisors, when you're mm-hmm. being controlled by coworkers, mm-hmm. in a church, when a pastor is controlling everything or leaders are controlling the wrong way. You follow what I'm saying? It does. It brings about pain and hurt
mm-hmm.
to a person. So we have to be careful. And when we are yielding to a person's control and we don't, if we don't challenge that individual,
mm-hmm.
it's like we're damaging that person to grow.
Mm-hmm. And let's keep it in the realm of marriage right here. Cause we can, I follow what you said.
Yeah. 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 I was just thinking about that.
Those are excellent points. I think that's often what leads people to infidelity.
Exactly.
And by no means am I condoning someone.
Absolutely not. Right.
You know, choosing to betray their spouse in that way. But what I'm saying is that if you are controlling me like that, what'll happen is, you know, what happens, someone else can come along, whether mm-hmm. it's at work or in some environment.
Right.
And that person is treating me,
mm-hmm.
you know,
With respect
yep. and allowing me to walk in my purpose and mm-hmm. be who I am. And then you go home and it's like your spouse is just like, you know, pushing you
mm-hmm.
away from your purpose. That what can lead to infidelity. And that's on either side,
right.
either with the man, you know, or woman, either one
right.
that's really controlling,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that, and because it can, what happens, you can have those two people that are war, they fight a lot, they're arguing a lot. And then you have some situations where one person be like, you know what? They don't argue. They be like, okay.
Right.
And they just
start plotting.
They start plotting or right. not even plotting, but in that weakened state is like when you lose, man, think about, this thought just came to my mind too. Think about David when he fell into sin with Bathsheba.
Mm-hmm.
It said, when kings were away, I'm paraphrasing, I know
right.
when they were away doing what kings were supposed to do or whatever.
Yeah, in the war.
Yeah, David was hanging back at the crib.
Right.
So guess what? He lost sight of his purpose, or he wasn't, you know, really embracing at that moment and doing his purpose. And then that's when the enemy snuck in and he began to look and lust for Bathsheba. And look what all that happened, how horrible that situation was, and how, you know, her husband ended up, Bathsheba's husband was killed. And, you know, their first child, you know, was, you know, died. And you know the turmoil that came in his household. And it's, you lose, when you lose focus of your purpose, that really can take you into some dark areas.
Think about it. Think about this real quick. When you just, based on what you just said, I was thinking about, thinking back with Abram and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah.
Right.
When God had already told Abraham that I am going to bless you with the seed, that you will be father of many nations. He was like, well, I don't have a child. Sarah, the angel actually got upset with her because she was laughing, you know what I mean, in her old age. And what did she begin to do? She began to push Hagar, being controlling, sleep with, you know, sleep with her, and so that I will have a child. Then what happened? She had a child, and then she hated her, right? But it was like, it was a control factor, and Abraham, he lost sight and wasn't trusting God because he was yielding to the controlling of his wife.
Yeah, and he lost sight of purpose. He didn't even have faith in it. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's the danger of control. You know, I know we started off kind of light, humorous, but this is really serious. And people out there that's wrestling with this, it's so important that you get help, you get counseling, and you really just spend time in your quiet time, in that meditation time, working on yourself.
Find out the cause of why you are controlling. There was a cause, like you said before, there was something within you. That you're battling with.
Yeah, it's chaos in you.
It's chaos.
Whether it was from your childhood, it may have been how, you know, being raised, and you know, it could be any type of family situations you grew up in, or whatever, an abusive situation, whatever it may be, and you don't even realize that you're this person, because you know you refuse to embrace powerlessness because you like, hey, I need to have power over someone else.
Right.
And you don't even realize that you're pushing your spouse away. And, you know, you are impeding your relationship from its true purpose.
Right.
And that's the beauty of a relationship, is like going back to what you were saying about, you know, the Coke, the world of Coke, and having different flavors, or, you know, to embrace each individual, to embrace your spouse, that contrast, it's a beauty in it.
It's a beauty.
It's a beauty in it. You know, I think about often, I heard that example when, you know, if someone was to hit, you know, if our child got hit by a car, you know, you may run straight to the child, where me as a dad, I may run after the person that hit my child.
Right.
Does that mean I love my child any less? Sometimes we just, our love is through another channel. You know, I love my child and I'm expressing justice. Like, I want to get this person that hit my child.
Right.
But you as a mother, you might want to run to, but guess what? All bases are covered. You should come to me and be like, why you didn't run to her? Why did you run after the guy? I can come to you and say, well, why you didn't run after the person that hit her?
I had on 3-inch heels. That's why I'm
dismissing. But the thing is that, you know, I think when we embrace each other's purpose, that's what make a marriage beautiful, and all bases are covered.
Well, at the end of the day, is it worth the argument? Is it worth making someone feel inadequate? Choose your battles. Allow people to be free to be themselves and lose the desire of being controlling.
And I'll end with this. When two people in a relationship let go of control, that's when love controls the relationship. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you would like to support Tea and Conversations for future episodes, please look in the description box for details.